Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Witch.
And so are you.
With your hosts, Miss Sick Dylan.
And Ivy.
No last name.
Yep.
We also have a special guest here with us, Ariel from the Pretty Cult.
Hi, everyone. Woo! Thanks for having me, Dylan and Ivy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yes, and like, I know that we plug at the end, but do you want to plug yourself at the beginning so people who, with people who aren't familiar, just talk about your brand?
Well, the Pretty Cult is predominantly a clothing brand. Everything is made and designed by me here in LA. I'm carried here at Old World Emporium.
I just realized the mic's here, but there we go. No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
No. I was just like, I'm like, why am I pushing the phone towards you?
Yeah, Dylan was just sneaking the phone closer and closer to her.
Well, hopefully everyone heard that.
No, I think they
did. But yeah, everything is very witchcraft. I like to say for the rock and roll witch.
Ooh, I like that.
Inspired by witchcraft, my love of music. Specifically rock and roll, and a shit ton of tarot.
And how did you start? Well, I have two questions for you.
Yes.
But first I'm going to tell people, so for those of you who are listening, our card today, as you know, we go down, our episode follows the Fool. So the Fool's Journey,
yeah.
Can't speak today. So the first 22 cards of the Major Arcana in tarot, and today's episode is Justice. So I think this is a very poignant episode, and it came at the right time, and we're going to talk about justice, and the justice and ethics and working witchcraft as well as our daily lives. But real quick to go back to Ariel, I have a two-part question. One is, how did you get on your journey to witchcraft? And then I would say, how did you get your journey to your brand?
Okay, let me start with the journey of the brand.
Okay, yeah, okay. Actually, no, I like that. Switching I like around. That. The journey of the brand.
And because it will make sense with the journey of witchcraft.
Okay.
So the brand started first, so...
When did you start your brand?
Technically, I think the bio says 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, but that's why I, like, don't love to say that date. Because technically... Pretty Cult started when I was in college, and it was strictly a hobby. Basically, it started out of being, like, a broke college student and seeing all my music, like, all these musicians I loved wearing these really sick clothes that I, like, couldn't afford. So I tried to make them myself. And then friends were like, this is sick. You should sell them. And then birthed an Etsy store. So... And then, I mean, I worked in music, and that's what I went to school for, is music business, and I worked in music for about 5 years before I left and was like, I'm gonna just do my brand full-time,
yeah.
And
wow.
Here we go. But I, all through those 5 years, I was just doing on the side, it was strictly hobby fun. On the weekends, I would do little local events.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
And... You know, people were into it, and I was like, I really enjoy this. And so eventually when I did leave my day job, I was like, well, I mean, people seem stoked on this. I'm making almost as much money on the weekend as being a assistant in music.
Right.
Maybe I should just try and do this full time. So I've been doing it full time for about 4 years.
Whoa.
Dude,
and,
awesome.
Like, I remember visiting one of your, like, I think... Not the first pop-up, but, like, the first pop-up that I met you at was Oddities, Flea.
Yeah, like, when we, like,
yeah.
I knew of Mystic
We knew
Dylan.
Of each other because
yeah.
I remember vouching for you on the, like, remember the voting thing? I was like, yeah! I was like, yeah! Well, I'm gonna be honest. I saw Hail Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see your face, and I was like, whoever this bitch is...
Yeah, she's my jam.
She's my jam. And then I think I saw, like, your story of, like, oh my god, thank you so much to these people. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's amazing.
Aww,
and then you
yeah.
came in, I think, and you, like, got a reading, and then I put the face of the name, and then I was like, woo.
I think I even brought you, I gifted you a Hail Lilith
No,
shirt.
Yes, you did. You did. And I was like, oh.
Yes.
But I remember at your booth, you had, like... Like, these like capes and shawls and cool things. Ooh. And I know that was part of your earlier. So like when you first started, you like you would sew and you crafted your own clothing.
Yeah, so I did. I still do some of my own sewing, a lot of my own sewing, but I do have an amazing seamstress who is now running production for me and also creating the patterns and the grading.
Because, that is so amazing.
At the rate that I am designing, there's just no way I could do everything anymore.
No, of course.
So I design everything. I source most of the fabrics, down to the zippers, down to the fringe, everything. Whoa. Buttons even. And then from there she helps me bring that vision alive, and then her team runs production and makes
that
all
is
the pieces.
So cool. I mean, I just think it's so awesome looking at like from like the earlier you and like you, like I just imagine you in college like with safety pins and sewing and making all this,
literally,
like,
that's what it was.
Shit.
Everything in college was like upcycled vintage, mm-hmm. like, and I still have a nod to that on the site. I've run out since COVID. I didn't do any vintage sourcing, but
right.
I'm starting again for summer.
Ooh.
And I've always had a vintage section on my website that's kind of a nod to the old Pretty Cult. Plus, like, it is still fun for me to do to find, like, Harley tees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, all the early stuff was, like, military jackets with studs and safety
that's
pins
so cool.
and patches and ombre dyeing and bleaching shorts, like,
whoa.
Total DIY, total, like...
I love it.
I wanted, in college, I wanted to be Taylor Momsen of the Pretty Reckless. That
yes,
is what
amazing.
I wanted.
Oh my God.
I still love her. Taylor, if you ever want me to dress you.
Taylor, reach out.
Okay, Taylor.
You know, she's listening to this podcast.
Manifestation.
I mean,
if
yes,
anyone
I'm
knows her.
So big on the manifestation. That
same.
Is, holy crap,
so,
my whole thing this year.
When you started the Pretty Cult, were you a witch?
I was not.
Ooh.
So we can transition into this.
Yeah.
So at my day job, I had met someone who I actually couldn't tell you if she identifies as a witch, but she is a tarot reader.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little bit more like a yogi tarot reader.
Oh, okay.
Kind of
okay. I feel what you're saying. Yeah.
So I don't totally know if she identifies as a witch, so I'm not going to call her that because I don't know if she prefers that term. But she introduced me to tarot, and I had this like patch. There was like the one flannel that started it all. I had this patch that kind of looked like a tarot card, but it wasn't. And I remember, you know, she was helping me with some stuff, and she had started teaching me tarot and introducing me to tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I even think she was like, you know, why don't you, like, bring tarot into, like, what you do or, like, putting it on, like, a flannel, and I was like, okay, like, maybe, you know, so I started playing around with the idea, which, from there, my love of tarot grew,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to, it only was tarot at that time, incorporate it into my brand. I was in love with the art. I didn't have my own tarot deck yet. I actually didn't have my own tarot deck until about 4 years ago, and then from there, I just grew and grew and grew and, like, and you know, learned about being a witch. And
mm-hmm.
It was the first time in my life that I felt completely me.
That's awesome.
I grew up in a Christian home, and just as things go, I got older and realized that just wasn't for me. It wasn't working. I found a lot of issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever felt like I fit in, even when I was in middle school, high school, and, like, the staple, perfect Christian girl. It just,
mm-hmm.
like, never, it never
fit. Did you go
fit.
To a Christian, like, high school or school? Or?
I didn't. I was in public school,
yeah.
but mm-hmm. I grew up in a small town, so very, obviously,
like
religious.
And...
There's more churches than there are anything else.
Whoa.
You're kind of performing to a standard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just never felt right. I could never connect. I could never,
right.
like, as much as I would try, never felt good enough, never felt like I was doing enough, never, it was just never was enough. And, like, with witchcraft, it was the first time in my entire life that I felt like I fully became the person I wanted to be. I stopped giving a shit what others thought. I never beat myself up. If some months I'm really, really in tune with my craft and I'm working a lot. And then you know what? There might be 2 months where I don't even pick up my tarot deck.
Same.
Because I'm being super inspired by something else, be it working with working with Lilith or just reading. Like, I love to read. I buy tons of books on witchcraft. So, and sometimes that's just how I practice for a month. I'll just be reading about different types of witchcraft. Like, one of my favorite books I actually bought here is the, what is the title? It's about working, it was all about familiars.
Oh, yes.
And my cats. And I'm a huge cat lady. So I'm like, oh my God. So I was like so into that for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And like putting crystals in my cat's water and everything.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. My cats, they have like a huge chunk of like tourmaline in their water.
There we go.
Because I
want to
protect them.
Gotta protect the kitties. That's so awesome. You know, sometimes, and I know you had like a Catholic background.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
I get so like.
And Baptist.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Baptist.
We went from being Catholics.
Catholics.
We went from being Catholics to being Baptists.
Whoa.
Which is a weird transition.
I always call myself pagan born because I feel like my parents never were, like, there was no dogmatic religion.
Right.
So, like, since early on, I was always, like, nature and spirits and fairies and life, you know? So it is very interesting, but sometimes I almost, like, I know that, like, I think that, not repent, but that rebel against Christianity, like, there is that, there's so much power in that.
Right.
You know, there is that sense of reclaiming. So I sometimes I'm jealous. I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I had this, like, fuck you. So like,
you know, for me, I don't know if it's the same for you. I know a lot of people go through that, like, quick rappel, like,
yeah,
fuck this, like, fuck religion. Mine has been a little bit of a slow process. I was afraid, actually, my partner calls it, and it's the best term I've ever heard. He calls it the Christian guilt.
You
know exactly what I'm talking about. If you were ever involved in any sort of organized Christianity, religion, the Christian guilt, that it took me a while to be okay with the rappel and the... I'm not necessarily a fuck religion person.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in the past year and a half, a little bit more with the things going on in the world. But I am very much to each their own, but do not bring it to me. Just like I am not going to bring my witchcraft to you.
Precisely.
I'm not going to put it in your face. I'm not going to tell you
to
believe. Mm-hmm. That's my business, so keep yours to yourself.
Yes.
So that has taken me a while to, like, be okay with that and comfortable, you know, I had to come out of the broom closet to my parents and like
How was that?
Very traumatic.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Not traumatic. Because knowing my mom, she's going to listen to this podcast. Love
stressful.
You, Mom.
Love you, Mommy.
Because my mom is actually, all my whole family is like super supportive actually.
Hell yeah.
That's so awesome.
It was, I mean, my mom is still Christian to this day.
Right,
and
yeah.
It was, she decided to ask me about it on her birthday, and I was like, Mom, do you really want to do this
on your
right
birthday,
now,
Mom?
And I just came out with it, and I was like, because I had been holding it, like, I had been, like, not, you know, she knew that my brand had tarot and stuff like that, but she was like,
right.
I just thought you liked the art. Like, I didn't know. I saw a post on Instagram that you were talking about a tarot reading you did for yourself, and I was like, yes, I read tarot. I identify as a witch.
Yeah.
That I doesn't mean, like... You know, and I even tried to explain to her there's a lot of people who are Christian or Jewish.
There are.
And you can still be a witch. I know that goes against what most Christians believe, but it's true.
Yeah.
So we just don't approach that subject.
Of course.
We're super cool. I mean, my mom calls. I talked on the phone for 3 hours. Like,
right.
My
That's
parents
awesome.
Are super supportive, and I'm very fortunate with that. It's just politics and religion are the two things we just don't approach anymore to keep our relationship copacetic.
Which is cool. And I will say, just tying into, like, with the justice aspect, like, I do find, like, you can't escape, and this is just the history nerd popping in, but, like, you can't escape, like, just like there are Christians who are like, oh no, like, witches, I always think it's funny that, like, for a religion that is so against witchcraft. There's so much witchcraft in their religion.
Yes.
But I will also say for the witches that are like, we're not Christian, we're not this, we're not that. And I was like, but it's kind of the same because, like, right. you can't say that you're not a Christian, but then be like, oh, well, I work with, like, you know, Saint whatever, you know, or Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And, like, at the end of the day, this is where I, like, talk about, like, folk magic. And it's that blending of different
right.
ideas and religions and things like that. So it's, like, there is, I think, for the justice aspect and just in things like that, I think it is cool because, for me, witchcraft, you are your own judge, jury, and executioner. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm going to lead into hexing. Let's segue into that.
Hexing.
And... Because texting I do believe... What?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Can we put that on a t-shirt?
Can that be... Please?
I mean, next pretty cool
it's all yours.
There we go.
We'll make it a collab with Ivy.
Don't hex and drive.
Don't worry.
Hexing
we
and
don't
sexing.
We don't steal ideas. We'll credit Ivy on that.
Thank you.
And when it comes to hexing, you know, I have... I know people don't do it. I know it's a taboo thing. And I will just kind of preference, like, in my experience, like, when I first started witchcraft, like, I read up on witchcraft and I was reading. But the first thing that I would say in terms of a community was Wicca. And in Wicca, it's like love and light and harm none, do what you will, and threefold and all that stuff. And there are different branches of Wicca, but, like, you know... I remember, like, going through, like, this is witchcraft.
Right.
But then I realized, like, you have to be initiated and all this stuff. And Wicca is a recognized religion. It's a religion. And halfway through, I was like, I don't want to be part of a religion.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of misconceptions that witchcraft is a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a practice.
Right.
It's a personal practice. My witchcraft is going to be different than your witchcraft, Ariel. It's going to be different than Ivy's. It's mm-hmm. going to be whatever. But the thing when it comes to hexing, I'm so frustrated with Instagram because and social media because so many people are like, if you hex, you're this. If you do this, you're that. And one of the things is that I personally, like, one of the first spells ever written was a hex, you know? So I always bring that up. And a witch, while we've reclaimed it, initially, historically, witch is a slur. You know, it is something. It is the renegade. It is a person who goes off course. Technically, it is a person who goes against religion.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, oh, well, in ancient Greece and Rome and all this stuff, they appreciated witches. That's not true.
They had a different name.
They had a different name. If you were a priestess, you were still part of a temple. You were part of a religion. But, like, if you know, Ariel, if you were, like, the priestess of Hecate, and then all of a sudden you decided that you were going to go do a business on your own and leave the temple, you were a witch, you know?
Yeah.
You got separated from. The other thing, too, is that there's that whole idea of, like, you're not putting God into the mix. You're doing the magic yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, when it comes to the justice thing, I think, like, it's so interesting how, like, now witches are gatekeeping each other. And I know
that's
we
so
touched
funny.
On this last time, but
Bad.
There's this whole fight about practices. And it's like, mm-hmm. whether you hex or not, I do think that there are times when it's necessary. And I also think we need to talk about what a hex is. A hex is not killing someone. Like, I think there's a lot of mis, you know, information, but it's like, I personally believe that for me, it's like, if you piss someone off or if you do something wrong, I'm gonna, like, you know, I'm gonna make justice come a little sooner. But
Yeah.
How are you in your practice? I know that we've talked on it before outside that you don't do hexing, but what are your thoughts on...
I personally do not do hexing, and it's not that I have anything against it necessarily. It's just for me personally, I feel like I haven't spent enough time with learning how to hex
mm-hmm.
or knowing the proper steps. I'm very much like, I'm an Aquarius, so mm-hmm. when I get to the point of like, maybe someone deserves to be hexed, I cut you off and it's like, you're dead to me and like never existed. Yeah. That's how I deal with it. And
it's like
a binding.
Or like a, return to center. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I, like, no, your energy no longer matters to me. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I look at things. The only thing I've done, I wasn't a hex. The last spell of that nature, I guess we'll say, is mm-hmm. I did kind of like a banishing.
Yeah.
There was a certain person that I decided I wanted to protect myself, my family, and my business from. Mm-hmm. And I...
Trump. I'm kidding.
Because they were so close.
You two are friends, right? No, I'm kidding. Bad humor. Bad joke.
And that's the closest I've ever come to, I guess we'll say, a hex. But right. to say I would never do a hex, I'm not going to say that because maybe I would.
Right.
If the moment called for it and there was a reason. And I do think that, I do think it has like a negative kind of connotation.
It does.
Even mm-hmm. among witches.
Right.
And in the outside world who doesn't understand witchcraft, like the they question just... I always get when you find out a witch, do you hex people?
I'm like, absolutely. No. Same.
But you can't, and then I have to go into explaining, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Do I have an issue with it? No, but I don't. I want to preface, I have no issue with hexing. However, if you're gonna do a hex, you need to follow the appropriate steps, come to someone like you, Dylan,
right,
and get the proper mm-hmm. And again, not trying to gatekeep and say you have to do it this way.
No,
just understand the amount, in my opinion, energy
mm-hmm. yes
and
yeah.
Thought that Think can go why. Into this and yeah. what you're going to be putting out in the universe, and just make sure you're doing it correctly, or what's correct for you in your walk through witchcraft, we'll call it.
Yes.
I don't think that we should just be throwing out like negative thoughts and no. crap into the world that we have mm-hmm. no idea.
It's a lot of energy. I yeah. totally agree. And I do think with that, it's like, it's kind of like a doctor. Like, and this is how I was learned, like when I was learning about witchcraft, it's like, you know, just like a doctor, like you have to learn, like say that you're making anti-venom for a snake. And this is how it was told to me. You have to learn what's going to kill you in order to learn how to protect yourself from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I do think it is worth studying and learning and being like, okay, and to what degree? And you have to come up with your own idea or your own level. And I think this is where, in terms of Christian guilt, there's a lot of good, bad.
Yes.
Witchcraft is gray. There's no black mm. magic. There's no white magic. And I say this all the time. If you're a white witch, chances are you're a white person. Yeah. I've never met a person of color who refers to themselves as a white witch.
Because it has a racial history.
Because it has a racial history. And I say it in my yeah. book, Candle Magic for Beginners, and it's going to be in my second book. I always talk about,
yeah.
you know, when, like, black magic, we need to eradicate those terms, black magic and white magic, mm-hmm. and just talk about magic. Absolutely. There's no good, there's no bad. And I think that is the only Judeo-Christian concept that I would say that should be removed from witchcraft, because the idea of good and evil mm-hmm. is a very Abrahamic Judeo-Christian concept.
It creates othering.
It does.
It creates like a type of
You have yin
othering.
And yang. Yeah. You have, I in Buddhism, they call it something else. But the idea of like good and evil are pretty stereotypical concepts that man also has created.
Yes.
You know? And I'm not going to go into like who's good, who's evil. And I'm not saying there aren't bad people in the world. But I think like when you put this emphasis on, like, I don't think someone getting upset, or I don't think something makes them like, that's it, for the rest of their lives, they're this evil person. There are people who are fucking assholes, you know? But that's mm-hmm. neither here nor there. But in witchcraft, we have to remove the color, because that's just mm-hmm. that's just something that has to happen.
Right.
So I do think witchcraft is gray in the sense that, like, I will say, if you were going to put color on something, one of the darkest magics I know is love magic. Okay?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. You want something to be black magic? Love magic is pretty much that. Mm-hmm. Especially when you are manipulating someone or you are controlling
Against
someone.
Their will.
That can yeah. be worse than a hex.
Yeah.
You know? And I do think, too, it's like, while you get one of the questions, too, like, I'm a witch, do you hex people? One of the things that I always get, have I been cursed?
Yeah.
Yes. I have a string of bad luck. Have I been cursed? Has someone put a hex on me?
People are coming in almost every fucking day asking if they've been cursed. Like, I don't know. Also, like, are you fucking up?
Oh my god.
Are you paying attention to the world around you before you get into, into the shit you're getting into?
Full disclosure, and this was my Facebook status, like, I think 2 weeks ago, because that's how long it happened. But someone from, and I'm not going to say their name, but whatever, someone from high school that I literally have not spoken to in years sent me a Facebook message. And this is how long it's been, where it said, so-and-so, like, I guess, like, I had updated my... It's been so long since I updated Messenger that, like, in the top right corner was that request. And I was like... So I was like, okay. And it was like, hi, Dylan. I know you've done witchcraft and you haven't spoken in a while. But, like, I've had so many bad things happen to me. And I'm sorry for anything that I might have done to you. Did you put a curse on me?
Stop it.
I swear to the gods. God. And I'm like, and mind you, it's been so long that I don't remember them. Sorry, I don't remember you. Right. But the first thing that I thought of was, like, I thought of my high school days, and I'm like, what the fuck do you think you did to me?
Like, what did you do? Or what the fuck
did you do that you might have thought that you remember that I might have hexed you?
Oh my God.
And I went through everything. And, like, we weren't in any social groups together. Like, I was in drama. They were not. So, like, maybe they called me a name. Maybe they did something. I don't know. But it was so weird.
Maybe they did something you don't even know about. Precisely. Now they think you know.
Now they think I know, or they talk shit about me, or whatever the case may be. So it's like, no. And I will say, like, the amount of people that ask how many... I think more people ask if they've been cursed more than witches I've met.
Yes, it's so true. It's a constant, and it's like sometimes you just need to, like, I know some people who are like, well, I'm falling all the time. It's like, have you started looking where you're walking?
I know,
like can you look at your feet when you walk?
And let me be real, I'm gonna be honest, as a witch who does hex, do you really think that I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna say, Trip Joe. Joe's gonna trip.
Joe's gonna trip.
Like, he's, where is that tripping spell?
Joe's gonna, like, fall in Walmart.
Fall in Walmart.
That's my fall in Walmart.
Talk about a lot of energy just to make someone trip and fall, you know? And the other thing that I would say, too, is that while I think, you know, witches aren't the only ones who curse, it's like, words have power.
Right.
When you cut someone off and they say fuck you to you, that is energy that's going there. You take that on, it follows you. So, like, I don't think it's always witches. I can't tell you how many people think that they're possessed by a demon.
Love that.
And I was like, okay.
Also, it's like, we live in a chaotic world. Bad shit just happens sometimes. And it's not fair. And sometimes it has no rhyme or reason. And sometimes when something bad happens to you, it snowballs.
Yes.
Like, it's a snowball effect of bad sometimes. That's not necessarily a curse. We just live in a world that does that.
Right.
Absolutely. Also, if you're into astrology, there's always things going on with astrology.
Always.
There's this little thing called Mercury retrograde.
Absolutely.
Look into that energy before maybe thinking somebody cursed you.
Yes. Because
the planets could be doing something funky. It could be a full moon, because let me tell you, the full moon makes people weird.
Crazy,
get your
star
chart done, or get that app, The Pattern, which is annoying because it doesn't tell you what part of your star chart is up, but it does tell you what's going on in your life pretty accurately. So if you're feeling like you're having, like, a string of bad luck, just download there's some good apps.
Absolutely.
There
CoStar is another good one.
CoStar rocks.
CoStar is awesome. You can get your own natal chart, and then you can also compare with friends, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then it'll also tell you, it'll give you, like, your daily kind of, like, horoscope updates, what could be going on with your signs and the stars and the moon and all of that. So
there
that
we
good
go.
One too.
So, and that check one's free, that I think. Out.
Yeah.
Boom. If you look for a sponsor, CoStar, the pretty cult.
The pretty cult will pimp you out.
But I think the other thing, too, and Ivy and I, we've talked about this, like, I'm special. I'm cursed because I'm special.
And people are thinking about me all the time.
Or, like, I'm seeing deity.
So I'm
yeah, people, yeah. or like I've really like I'm like
shut up.
I know this is where I'm really bad. Like Ivy's person. I'm like stop. You know,
but it's like you know sometimes you need to take a step back and ask yourself. Why do you think people are putting that much energy into thinking about you? You don't think other people are thinking about themselves just as much as you're thinking about yourself? You're wrong. I'm thinking about myself all the time.
And I'm not afraid to admit it. I want to applaud that. Because that, like, is so true. We are the most, I mean, we are all so self-centered. It is constant. And not even like an on-purpose thing. It's
we're the center point of our whole world. Exactly. And we are the only window of perception we have. And the most we can do is try to empathize with other people's windows of perception. Like, yes. We have to think about ourselves in realistic ways.
Yes. And I have to transition to something because it was on my mind. I was like, if I don't say it, I'm going to lose it. I have to applaud you, Arielle, because I think you are one of the few witches, well, I'm not going to say that, recently, that can honestly, like, when I look at my bio and I talk about how I am, I feel like it's so boring. It's like, oh, I'm a nerd who read, and I became a witch, and I know I've done other stuff. But
I was
the fact that
I find you to be one of the most fascinating people.
Thank you.
You have a pretty interesting
life. Okay. But you're very honest about your craft. And I will say this. I can't tell you, and I know Ivy can attest because we've met these people. I can't tell you how many people feel that they have to come up with this persona.
A mythology.
Or mythology of their life. And this is something that is very common in witchcraft. The, I was initiated at 6. The, Hecate came to me when I was 4. Mm-hmm. I was in the shower and Pan was there. Or like, I mean like.
It's annoying. It makes people feel like it's bad to start now. Like wherever you are. Like, you can have a starting point later. It's okay. You're living a human life with a human experience. If you start at 10, great. If you start at 40, awesome. Like, you have a starting point, and that's beautiful.
Yes. I guess I'll touch on that. I did not start, for anyone listening who thinks they're too old or whatever to be a witch, I did not start learning about tarot. I know you hate this term baby witch, but baby witch, I was a baby witch at like 25 and I'm 30 now and I still feel very young. So I've only been like practicing witchcraft for 5 years and I have no, problem saying that, and if you want to judge me off that, then like that's your business. I don't care. Right. Take that energy somewhere else.
I have
But there is, and that is why I love witchcraft, and I will say it time and time again, there, to an extent, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no color. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter how much you work with the deity, have you read your tarot cards every day, it's beautifully imperfect. It's you can do as much as you want or as little as you want, and that doesn't make you a good witch or a bad witch. It's your own personal practice. Nobody has any sort of say about this. And also, piggybacking off social media, I think a big problem I've been seeing with some other witches actually talking about it being a problem is TikTok.
Yes.
I know.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get I love TikTok. I'm not gonna lie. Pretty Cool does have one. I'm not as up with it as Instagram. I'm trying to learn.
Same.
But I do love looking at others' TikToks. Right. But I will say, I actually don't follow a lot of witchcraft stuff on TikTok because there is a lot of misinformation. There is a lot of gatekeeping on there. There's some great resources on there. And the one reason I do like it, if you are a younger person and you are called to witchcraft, and I heard this from another brand owner said this, and I thought it was so cool. She does bath products, and she was like, the reason I love bath magic is because if you are a young person, maybe you're still living at home, like I found witchcraft later, right? But like this would have been a perfect example of my home, and you can't outwardly practice or get resources, or you know, your parents are like no way gonna take you to a witch shop. TikTok is there as a resource.
It's true.
You know, social media has given, I think, younger people or people maybe who are uncomfortable or scared or don't know how to go about it, free resources. And that was such a cool thing about bath magic. It's something you can do in private and nobody has to know what you're doing.
Right.
You can just be putting that bath bomb in and that is your ritual and you are 15 years old and that is awesome.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I will say that I don't have a problem with TikTok and like, I'm technically challenged, so I have so many ideas, it's just executing them.
Right.
I think my problem is, and this is a same problem in the tarot community, because witchcraft has become so accessible and so popular, I do think that people use witchcraft as a tool for popularity. So, say the word that I have, but say that the potential baby witch, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have a 19-year-old who really doesn't know magic, but they're using the resources of magic to gain popularity through TikTok by doing those TikTok videos, hence the misinformation. Now, I have seen TikToks where I'm like, bam, this bitch knows her shit, you know? And I have seen some where it's like, amazing. And I'm thankful to TikTok for the hematite ring sales that we get because we just got 150 and now we have 4 left.
Amazing.
So like because TikTok. Thank you, TikTok.
It's a great tool for small businesses, that is
it,
for
it
sure.
It really is. But I do think that there are things where it's like, you know, we have this Moldavite craze where everyone and their mother feels that they need Moldavite.
They want it and they're also scared of it and want to talk to me about it for an hour.
And the thing about Moldavite is that not only is it over harvested only from the Czech Republic, it's very expensive.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Girl, I worked at 5 years ago I worked at a shop, Moldavite was maybe $5. Now we sell it for $79, which is a decent price, by the way, for those listening.
It is not an upcharge.
It is not an upcharge. And actually, not only am I not gouging, but I will also say too, when people ask, do I need this, I will say it is space glass. Do you need space glass? You know?
It's pretty cool to have a piece of impact glass.
Yes.
I think that's dope, but you could also get Tektite.
But that's where, and that's where I think TikTok is. And I think my issue with that is that, like, when it comes to tarot, it's like, you know, I love when people do tarot. I think tarot is amazing. It's a wonderful tool. But now with tarot being so accessible, well, it's always been accessible, you can buy a tarot deck and then say you're a professional tarot card reader and charge these exorbitant amount of prices.
Yeah.
And that's, it's like, I think when that happens, it belittles the craft. And it makes it harder for those who are so passionate about what they do and done the work for what they do.
Well, that's an issue, like with that particular issue on TikTok. It doesn't just bleed through like our witchcraft community. It's also a huge issue with like mental health posting on TikTok, where there's huge vats of harmful misinformation about what mental health is and how to handle it. And then there's also people desperately trying to correct that information. And it's just wild, and it's like, yeah, you can't go around posting all that crap for clout and not expect it to affect someone, you know, and affect someone sometimes in a very negative way, because I've seen some stuff on TikTok like about like how to know if you're hexed, and it's like very like common everyday things, and I'm sure it sends
if you trip,
it sends people into absolute spirals.
Oh,
you
know,
like emotional torrents of confusion. Because no one knows how to like fact check. But like it just sucks to see so many people who are kind of falling prey to people that are doing things either unknowingly or for clout.
Like, and I will say this goes to just this episode, the ethics of witchcraft and readings and stuff. And it's like, I'm just gonna put this out there. If you have gotten a reading and someone says you are hexed, or they stop the reading, or they say you need a cleansing in a reading, or they try to upcharge you for something, they're full of shit.
Yeah.
And I am sorry for anyone listening who has done that or like been in that situation.
Right.
But it's like, no. If someone asks you, first off, I always try to withhold the eye roll when people ask if they're hexed, only because I hear it so often. But that is a genuine thing, and I think that that is something that requires, like, you know, I think that's a different issue. But when people come in for a regular reading, I can't tell you how many people, and I think a lot of people mm-hmm. are scared because of situations they've had with other readers or other witches mm-hmm. being told something.
Yeah.
I had a client for the longest time, and we're still very close, but I had to do major damage control on her because she went to one of those shops on Melrose, yeah. calling Melrose out, and this woman, 5 minutes into the reading, said that she had a black veil over her mm-hmm. and that she had to spend $500 yeah. to get a full body cleansing and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after she had done it, the woman texted her and was like, I'm so sorry. I had a dream. You have to come back for 3 more sessions. Oh my God. And she spent all this money
mm-hmm. because she was scared.
Because she was scared yeah. and she felt like that. So I really think like there are ethics and mm-hmm. you know, you can't really, it's so hard being in this community when I see people who are doing this. And like, you know, there's another woman that mm-hmm. someone like tagged me in, and it's like, you know, they took my picture and they had like a fake profile, and like, oh yeah, it's Grifton. Like, yeah,
I've been seeing this a lot lately, especially mm-hmm. with other businesses, the people just like taking profile photos, starting other mm-hmm. random accounts.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the heck is mm-hmm. going on.
It's a scam so they can make like a quick buck off of
totally.
Before they get banned.
Absolutely.
Like, a lot of them are expecting to make just like something really fast and then get banned.
Mm-hmm. One of my friends, they took her profile, mm-hmm. her pictures, and she's a wonderful reader, mm-hmm. And they were like, they did a fake profile and it was like DMs only,
mm-hmm.
No phone readings, but they would do email readings, and then email magic, and then it was like 100% accuracy. If any fucking witch claims that they're 100% accurate, they're not accurate.
Yeah, no.
They're full of shit. So, like,
no
I just think that, you know, when it comes to justice, I it's not just justice in your spell work. It's not just justice in everything. I think there are ethics mm-hmm. in terms of, like, I get really frustrated. While social media is a blessing to the witch community, it's mm-hmm. also a curse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're still, like, as a society, like, figuring out how to incorporate this very new tool still into our world in a way that is ethical and useful to the general public. And it's hard to eliminate harm when everyone has access to it, which is a good thing, but also it creates that room for those grifters,
mm-hmm.
like those people that are interested in taking advantage.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, I know we talked about this before we recorded, and I wanted to, like, How did Ariel discover Lilith? And
yeah.
how did Hail Lilith become such a...
Yeah.
Like, and I know you have,
that's
like, a personal
good,
connection to that.
Yes, that's a good segue. So, this has to do with your question right now, but also segueing off what we just talked about in ethics and putting things out that you don't know about, you don't believe in. That is, like, a huge, really, really important key of Pretty Cult.
Mm-hmm.
You will never see a single design associated with my brand that I haven't worked with, spent time with, read about, spoken to people like Dylan about, who maybe have worked with a said deity. I think there's been multiple times I've actually fact-checked symbols with you before
mm-hmm.
they ever go to production on my clothing, because I would never want anything misrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to always fact check yourself and don't just make cool witch stuff because it looks cool.
Right.
Everything in witchcraft
that.
Has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It has significance. And you should, you know, when you're wearing, I like to think when you're wearing a Hail Lilith t-shirt or one of my tarot cards, you know, that could be considered body armor. You
yes.
are invoking Lilith, if that's the deity you work with or not, it doesn't
right.
matter.
That archetype, even if you don't work with Lilith, you're
like,
invoking that archetype.
Exactly,
yes.
And I mean, that was a huge inspiration behind my Witch Archetype series.
Mm-hmm.
I look at, clothing is armor, in
yes.
a sense.
It is.
It's fashion, but it's also
mm-hmm.
armor. And I would never, ever, ever put a symbol or something that I was not personally familiar with, and if you ever saw me at an event or something and came up and asked me about it, that I wouldn't be able to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned before the show, a lot of people have asked me to work with the Morgan.
Yeah.
And I have not done it because that is a heavy deity.
Absolutely.
That you need to fully understand, mm-hmm. that I need to fully understand. Mm-hmm. I don't personally work with the Morgan. At least not yet, or I haven't been called to work with her. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day I will, and maybe it will inspire me to create a design around her, but that's a heavy thing. She is heavy. She is a badass, but you need to understand that. So, which kind of segues into your question about Lilith. I've always been drawn to Lilith, mainly because of her story, as I know her story. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of kind of folklore, we'll call it, around her.
Yeah.
But being from a Christian background,
mm-hmm.
and everything I was taught, Lilith has always deeply resonated with me because she is said to be Adam's first wife,
mm-hmm.
who would not bend to any man's will, and she was cast out, and God mm-hmm. punished her by every child, I believe, dies in childbirth that she bears. Mm-hmm. As punishment, and I'm sorry, I think that is the most metal thing I've ever heard. As a woman who can't, not that she can have children, but she is kind of portrayed to be this demon only mm-hmm. because she wouldn't, quote, lie beneath him. And, I mean, I look at her as, like, honestly, the first feminist.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, and then the a caveat to that myth, too, is that, like, when she realizes she can't have children, she's like, I'm a fucking angel.
Yeah.
So she births demons.
Exactly. And there's nothing more metal than that.
I was like,
I'll go for it.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
See what happens.
100%.
Take away my rights.
I won't have
see
human
what
children. Bye.
Bye. No, and will you say, like, okay, because, like, since I've met you, you've always been this badass, but were you always this badass?
I don't know.
That's a great interview question. Were you always this badass?
I'm gonna say no. I've really come into my own, I feel like, in the past 5 years since I've really embraced witchcraft. And like I said, I feel like it's the first time I've become myself, also probably getting older. I just give less of a shit, especially since I turned 30. I really don't care anymore.
Same.
I just do what I like and what I believe in and what I'm inspired by. And if that resonates with you, awesome. There's a community here with you. If not,
it resonates with me.
Yeah, I don't need your hateful comments. Get the fuck off my page.
Right. I'm 100%.
Just unfollow. Just block. The block button's there. You don't want to see shit? Just do
it. No, I agree. And, like, I do want to, like in my mind, I'm like, I like to reinforce because to me, everything that you just said, that is working with a deity. You don't need to have this spiritual... Mm-hmm. Like, Lilith does not need to present herself to you.
No. Like, Lilith has not presented herself to me in a physical form yet.
But in signs, hold on to the yes. In your attraction to her,
just
I think...
Just being called to work
with her. I was
just
going to say, that is what it is. Your attraction to her is being called to her.
Yes.
You know, you printing her on a shirt is working with her. Mm-hmm. You reading about her is devotion. And one of the things when baby witches are like, how do I work with a deity? I always say, read about them.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't resonate with you, then maybe they gave you a lesson. Maybe they didn't. Read about them.
Right.
And if you feel inspired, if you have those things, like, I will tell you, like, one of the deities that I work with that I don't really talk about as much, but you know, he's there, is Apollo. And Apollo mm-hmm. is a god of prophecy, and he's a god of healing, and he's a god of all these things, and he's also the god of theater. And I would say, like, when I started, like, discovering him, that's when I started working with him. And there were so many things that, like, I think helped through his mythology and reading about his lore and connections. Like, he is the first, like, mm-hmm. when I do my shuffle my tarot cards, he's the first person that I'm like, okay, Apollo.
Right.
And even though I don't talk about him all the time, and, like, while I do boast many deities, it's like, I also think that a lot of people feel like, oh, I work with a deity, I have to, like, blast it out, and I have to go hardcore, and like Apollo is in my visions, and Apollo is 24/7, and it's not, you know?
Yeah.
So I think by you doing what you're doing, that's working with a deity. When I read, like, on my little things, I'm working with a deity, you know? So when I work magic, I'm working with Hecate.
Right.
You know, she's literally the goddess of magic.
Yeah.
So, but I think a lot of people feel like, oh, I have to do this, or there are all these rules.
Right. I mean, if there's any deity you have to work with, it's my favorite god, a god of prosperity named Venmo, and mine is at Potato Starch.
Yes, queen! Yes.
Wow. Stop. That was amazing. I'm the god of men.
Oh my god, I love it.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Just for a minute. Just for a minute. We were talking about Apollo, and then I was like, oh. And we didn't talk about Venmo.
Is that Apollo's brother?
Apollo's brother, Venmo, god of prosperity.
Oh, there we go. That old one. I work with that one all the time.
Mm-hmm. Same.
There was another thing, ethics. We were talking about that. What were we talking about before that we're like, ah, oh, let's save it?
Harmonization time while we think.
No, but... Okay,
you've
we
got
did
this.
Deities.
We did deities.
We did work hexing. We talked about how you don't have to be... Well, I'm just going to say, you know, when people tell me, like...
When to hex?
Oh, when do you hex?
When do you hex? When the hex?
That is a good question. When to hex? What the hex? Here's the thing. So, from me, being a professional witch... And I just say, just based on historical records and folklore, because I practice traditional witchcraft.
Yes.
If you cross my palm with a coin, I'm going to do whatever the fuck you want. As they did in the days of old. However, I also have my boundaries.
Right.
I personally don't believe in manipulating another person. I mean, if you absolutely want Bob and you want to throw your money away to get Bob, that's fine.
That's on you.
But it's on you. But I think when it comes to hexing, think of the circumstances. Think of why do you want to do this?
Like, really? Why?
Why? And I do feel, once again, going to historically, if you have been abused, if you have been through something, if you have been through it, I think you don't necessarily have to implement harm, but I do like a return to sender.
Right.
Where you're essentially showing them what they've done.
Right.
You know? I really think that to put all that energy, like hexing does require a lot of energy.
Yes.
And requires you kind of like that shadow work.
Yeah.
Which is another, we have to do a podcast on that because I think that's another term that's thrown around all the freaking time. Shadow work. I'm doing shadow work.
Like, are you?
Are you?
You're writing a journal. Which can be, but sometimes you're just writing a journal,
like,
and that's okay too.
So I guess for me, I would say just hex whenever, if you really feel that justice needs to be served, justice, then you can throw a hex.
But justice is not... I want to date the person that this person is dating, so I'm going to hex that person.
Precisely. You know, you don't have to hex, you know, and you can hex your ex.
Hex your ex.
Is that a shirt?
I feel like that's a shirt.
I feel like that's a shirt.
I'm pretty sure that's a shirt.
Because, like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm sitting on a gold mine.
I can already.
But then at the same time, too, I feel like I've
definitely
read
been done.
Right. I feel
somewhere.
Like maybe we've seen someone wearing it.
Someone, probably. but real quick, so as we follow up, I do want to throw the floor to Ariel, and share your upcoming stuff, and anything that you want to share, and if you have any last thoughts about justice and what justice means to you in the realm of witchcraft or tarot, you know,
pissing on the haters.
There we go.
As in the words of Queen Arby, because I've been listening to her so much lately, the haters just give me juice. So,
ooh,
you know,
I love that.
They just fuel my fire. So, Well, okay. So you asked me a couple things there.
I know, I keep throwing everything at you.
It's yeah, okay.
You asked like four questions at once.
I've got it. Last thoughts on Justice. I mean, I think we covered it really, really well about hexing, and I think that was really good to cover because I know that just can be a very muddy topic for a lot of people with witchcraft. Hexing, cursing is one of those, I feel like.
Yeah.
But some upcoming stuff we have.
Ooh. Okay.
Speaking of tarot, you're there hearing it here first if you're listening to this podcast. It's not even announced yet.
Not even announced.
The Pretty Cold is presenting here at Old World a tarot art show.
What?
That is kicking off on May 25th for National Tarot Day.
Woo-hoo.
And we have some amazing artists lined up. I'm not saying who they are yet, but boom. Everything is
Picasso
themed.
Picasso themed.
We resurrected him.
No. Tarot themed, be it you know, tarot art, or I have someone doing an instrument used in tarot. I don't think I told you about that one after the show.
No, I'm excited.
Yeah, and Pretty Cool is going to have a pop-up that weekend. So the show will run from the 25th to June 8th. It's only up for 2 weeks. And then the weekend of the 25th, I don't remember those dates right off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Pretty Cool. We'll have an in-store pop-up here at Old World.
Boom. Yay.
And we have some really fun stuff in store for that.
Yes.
Giveaways and sorts of things. And I will be dropping one, maybe two new brand new tarot cards out of my deck that I'm working on.
Yes.
Excited.
So it's going to be a fun one. So come
I'm
say
excited.
Hi.
Yay. And last but not least,
do a card before we do our
let's
plugs.
Do a card. We're gonna have you pull an oracle card.
Ooh.
And pick any card, and then you're just gonna read this to the listeners, and then off the top of your head say what you feel. What feelings does it give you? What's the card?
I got passion.
Ooh. And what does that mean to you?
Oh, man, what's coming to my head right now, just off the bat, I had some fiery passion before I came in here to this podcast, because, you know,
she came in a woman on a mission.
I came in a woman on a mission, speaking of ethics, you know, some people should just be a little more ethical.
That's right.
And passion can, of course, be in the love aspect, but I'm getting the more fiery, like, hear me roar kind of passion.
There we go.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to quote another artist in the words of Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
The eye roll. The haters going to hate, so shake it off.
And I'll quote my favorite, shit damn motherfucker damn, some dumb bitch just stole my man. Better find another fucker better than the other fucker, shit damn motherfucker damn. And that's my definition of justice. Would you like to plug your podcast?
That was the most amazing, oh my god.
That was a theater warm-up that we shouldn't have done in high school, but did.
Amazing. And I'll plug yourself.
Oh, plug yourself at The Pretty Cult on everything, all one word, on social media, website. We mentioned TikTok.
Yes.
And yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye out for what we're going to be announcing with this art show.
Yes. And you can follow me at The Mystic. At Mystic Dylan Official. And I am owner of the Old World Emporium, so follow the Old World Emporium, and
you can follow me, Ivy, at Neat Sword on Twitter or Instagram. My Twitter is mostly dedicated to harassing politicians.
That's incredible.
So we hope you have a magical day or evening, whatever it is for you. Thank you for listening, and remember, life's a witch,
and
so are you!
Bye!
The bitch. Testing.
That's good. That's good podcasting sounds, right?
This is Mystic Dylan. Say your name.
This is Ariel.
And this is Ivy.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, yes. And then I'm just talking to talk.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you wanted to plug our thing in at the
end. Yeah. Plug the thing.
If you're listening to this, you get to find out first. But right. Not announced yet.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
But it's coming.
It's coming. Did you come up, is there a title that you like?
No, I don't know if I was just, it was late and I was like hyper fixating on stuff and being mm-hmm. like, we can't call it National Tarot Day. What am I thinking? I don't know.
I'm gonna have
him make the flyer because he's super good at that shit. Mm. And by that point, I will have decided, or it's just going to be like National Tarot Day.